Just as anywhere, word travels fast. Whether gossip or the gospel, people talk. You can't help it. If something happens, it will be heard, it will be shared, from social media to news flashes on our mobile devices to the airwaves. We live in a generation where communication goes global in seconds. Despite the newness of our modern society, the gospel also can spread quicker through these means. In our reading from the book of Acts this morning, we see this, that great news of the Gentiles coming to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their subsequent filling with the Holy Spirit traveled fast to Judea and Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 11, Peter gets reprimanded, rebuked, and criticized by fellow Jews for going into a Gentile home. Yesterday, we witnessed a conflict between Jewish Christian believers and Peter. Early Jewish Christian believers believed they were following God's plan to set up His kingdom. As long as they believed the kingdom was still being offered to themselves, Peter's actions were wrong. These Jewish believers believed that God's message was to the Jew first. The problem with this thinking was it misunderstood God's plan. For Christ commands not only to begin in Jerusalem, but to extend the message to the uttermost part of the earth. That very famous verse from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When you will receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And even to all ethos, Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission. This was the same error of Jonah. And ironically, Peter was in the very town where Jonah decided to take a ship, Joppa. The irony in this account is too funny. The Jewish believers thought that they had cornered God's plan, but in essence, their view of God was in a box. We can't put God in a box. Peter's meeting with Cornelius completely transforms the Jewish believers' point view. Luke goes on to write Peter's story again to drive home a lesson of this important transition in redemptive history. Luke repeats this story three times. He wants the readers to grasp how God changed the thinking of early Christians to further spread the gospel of Christ into the world. One major part of living the Christian life is having the Lord constantly change our views. Some of these changes are small and sometimes they are huge. To go through a radical theological paradigm shift can be painful and scary, both emotionally and culturally. And it is never resolved easily or quickly, just as we have seen over the past 2 weeks with Peter, as God worked in him to enter the Gentiles' home and preach the gospel. To Peter, culturally and religiously, it felt like God was telling him to sin. He said, "What? You're saying that I should get up and kill them and eat? I have never done this." And he had been preaching the gospel for at least 7 years now. Jesus told him and other disciples, you will go into all the world to preach the gospel. But in their centuries-old Jewish way of thinking, they thought they would only be preaching to Jews from different parts of the world. The thought of preaching to pagan Gentiles that they could be saved through Christ without becoming culturally and religiously Jewish was unthinkable. Regardless of how difficult it was, the power of Christ broke through the block of ears of religion and their culture within the Jews. So this is amazing, since we are just as surprised sometimes at how God works things for His glory and for our good. Our ideas or theology are often corrected to be more centered, more God-centered, and we see His work and we are left silent only to praise Him for what He has done and that He does what He pleases. Remember, God works not to our timetable but His. So are you entrusting yourself to Him? So that's the question we can ask ourselves. Are we entrusting ourselves to Him? Or trying to somehow unsuccessfully twist His divine arm to our will? Simply sit silent and glorify Him for His work, as we have just read in the Psalms. Praise Him, oh praise Him. And ways delighting in Him, as the Word of God says, rejoice in God always. That He knows what is best. And if He wants our opinion, our input, He will ask. So this passage challenges us to reflect on our own biases and prejudices. Are there people we consider unworthy of God's love and care? Are there individuals we overlook or exclude based on their background or ethnicity? Through Peter's vision, we learn that God's love knows no boundaries and that His grace is available to everyone, regardless of their heritage or social status. It serves as a reminder for us to embrace diversity, treat all individuals with respect and love, and recognize the inherent worth of every person in the eyes of God. One key phrase that resonates from this passage is, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. This concise statement underscores that repentance and the path to eternal life are gifts bestowed by God, available to all, irrespective of their backgrounds. God finds a way even in the midst of class and racial distinctions, even in the midst of nationalism and social restrictions. God finds a way to break salvation out of the fences we so often build around it. What is more, Gentiles like Cornelius are included, not because they are basically nice people, but because they are able to repent. Because good people don't go to heaven and bad people don't go to hell. It is only the forgiven people go to heaven. So look again at verse 18. God has clearly granted to the Gentile too the repentance that leads to life. God has granted repentance to them. Repentance is not a person's brave first step toward Christ. It is not some sort of feeling sorry for my sins, but repentance is turning away from sin and embracing the grace of God. Repentance is a gift of God that enables us to turn toward the truth. We cannot make that turn on our own without the help of the Holy Spirit. God does it for us when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God. Concerning God's purpose, it is fundamental to understand that salvation is God's program and God's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. But He uses us in this process. In Christ, God has turned toward us and granted us repentance. So if you read the story again, you will see that Peter and Cornelius are surprisingly passive in this story. It is as if they are being carried along by the Holy Spirit, reacting and trying to keep up with events beyond their control. So this is the way it is with repentance. When we come to the knowledge of the Son of God and His glory and His holiness, our hearts melt within. So it is more than a decision we make, but the Holy Spirit helps us to make that decision. It is more than a good deed we might offer. Repentance is the joyful human response to God's offer of God's self to us. It is an act of God's grace. The good news is that everyone may now turn to God. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "In Christ Jesus, you that used to be so far off have been brought close by the blood of Christ." God is the author of salvation, and in writing it for all of us, it has sometimes looked as if God was breaking the rules. It reinforces the notion that salvation is not limited by ethnicity or heritage, but is extended to all who turn to God in faith. We all are prone to think that the church is for folks just like us, but not for those who are much different than we are. So Acts chapter 11 stands as a statement to God's inclusive love and the transformative impact of the gospel in breaking down barriers. It beckons us to embody this love, extending grace and acceptance to all, and to hear the guiding voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we reflect on this passage, may we be inspired to embrace diversity, foster unity, and embody the love of Christ in our interactions with others. So in our gospel this morning, our Lord reveals that love is the proof of discipleship. Without love, our titles, abilities, gifts, and spiritual activities are rendered meaningless. In His final moment with His disciples, Jesus chose not to talk about power, miracles, or position. Instead, He gave them a simple yet powerful commandment to love one another. This commandment is not just a suggestion, but a divine standard that identifies true followers of Christ. May the good Lord help us to embrace the gospel of Christ and to spread the love of God in this world. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.